Dope. 30th chapter, text 4. So as we're reading the, I thought it would be very nice for the devotees, as we're reading the 10th canto, this particular part of the 10th canto, I wanted to also include Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports, since it's not actually a violation of etiquette, since my godbrothers are the ones who wrote the other purports, and my godbrother is the one who translated Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purports. That's Bhanu Maharaj. So I thought we could really understand thoroughly what's going on if we hear. I mean, I have more purports than this. I have the purports of Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, etc. But I'm not going to go through all those purports. But I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as the Rasacharya, explains. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as the Rasacharya, explains these things, you know, very completely, taking into account the commentaries of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So, and Sridhar Swami, of course. Sridhar Swami is like the original commentator on the Bhagavatam. So I thought it would be interesting and also allow us to understand further what's happening in these particular verses. But I wouldn't do this with Srila Prabhupada's purports, because that's not the right etiquette. With the purports of my godbrothers, it's fine. So please repeat. Gayanicha Uchar Amun Eva Thonghata Vichipyor Unmataka Vad Vanam Vanam Praprachur Akasha Vad Antaram Bahir Bhuteshu Santam Purusham Vanaspatin Gayancho Charamum Eva Sanghata. The Chipur Unmat Tata Van Vanad Vanam. Rapture of Kasha Vadhantanam Bahir. Uteshu Santam Purusham Vanaspatim. Gayancho Charamum Eva Sanghata. Vichipyurun Mattakavan Vananvanam. Aprachura Kasha Vadhantaram Bahir Uteshu Santam Purusham Vanaspati Gayancho Charamum Eva Sanghata Chikyurun Mattakavad Vanad Vanam. Paprachurakasha Vanantaram Bahir. Uteshu Santam Purusham Vanaspatin.
Thank you.
Come on, you can do it. Gayantaha, singing, Ujjahai, loud, Amun, about him, Eva, indeed, Songhataha, together in a group, Vijityuhu, they searched, Unmatakavat, like mad women. Vanat Vanam, from one area of the forest to another. Papratjuhu, they inquired. Akashavat, like the sky. Antaram, internally. Bahi, and externally. Bhuteshu, and all created beings. Santam, present. Purusham, supreme person. Vanaspatin, from the trees. Translation, singing loudly of Krishna, they searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a band of mad women. They even asked the trees about him, who, as the Supersoul, is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. So purport by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lost in the madness of love for Krishna, the gopis inquired about him from even the trees in Vrindavan. Of course, there is no actual separation from Lord Krishna, since he is the all-pervading super soul. So, Om Gana Tripadandasha Kadamjana Sanakya Chakshu Vinitam Yena Tasmai Shidurve Namaha Vichancha Puchaira Mumiva Sangata Vichyurun Matakapan Vana Nam Pula Pachura Kasha Vadantaram Vahi Uteshi Santam Purusham Vanas Vatin. So I'll speak a few words before I read Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur's purport here. That, this very much reminds me of Lord Ram's pastimes. When Lord Ram, of course, and Lakshman, but Ram in the beginning was running after the deer, the golden deer. And when he killed the golden deer, he discovered it was Marich. And when Marich died, he cried out, "Oh, Sita! Oh, Lakshman!" In the voice of Ram, of course, not like that. "Oh, Sita!" I don't know what the voice of Ram was like. But anyway, he cried out, "Sita!" And then Sita, of course, insisted that Lakshman go and try to find Ram and save him. Lakshman didn't want to do it, and Sita said, "You know, basically, you've been thinking all along of having me for yourself." And of course, she didn't think like that, but you know, she was so much in anxiety. When people are getting anxiety, they say things they don't really mean. So then, Lakshman goes, and in the meantime, our good friend Ravan comes down. And he first appears as a Brahmin, and then he manifests as 10 heads and 20 arms, and basically puts Sita on the chariot. Sita's on the chariot, and as they were flying away, and she's crying, Jatayu comes and destroys the chariot. The chariot is being pulled by asses and these dummies with human heads on them, like ghouls. And Jatayu cuts off all their heads and destroys the chariot. And so, and then Ravan takes on Jatayu, and with his Chandra Haas, he cuts Jatayu's wings off. I think you all know that story. And then Ravan, with his own power, he's able to carry Sita Devi away. He doesn't go in the chariot, he actually carries her away because he's able to fly in the air without a chariot. And he thinks about Galanka, she's falling, etc. So then, so getting to the point of the story, then Ram and Lakshman come back and they're feeling some inauspicious things. Actually, their left eye is throbbing. And that's an indication with men when their left eye is throbbing like that. Whenever that happens to me, I just hold my eyes so it doesn't throb. That's an indication something bad is going to happen, or something bad has happened. With the ladies, it's opposite. And the right eye is going, it's bad. The left eye is good. So, anyways, you got to remember that. Next time your eye, just lock the door of the house. Don't go out, because something's going to happen. Nah, don't worry about it. Chant Hare Krishna more. And that will mitigate any sort of bad karma. So getting a bit to the point. So Ram and Lakshman come and they find Sita Devi is not there. And Ram is just like completely bereft. He says, go look by the lake or by the river and see if Sita Devi is there. And then Ram, well, first of all, he threatens to destroy the whole universe. And Lakshman pacifies him. But at this particular point, Ram begins to speak to the trees, to everything he sees, you know, where is my Sita Devi, where is my Sita Devi? And it's describing the Valmiki Ramayana that the animals, they were afraid to tell Ram because they were afraid of Ravan. And the trees, you know, oh, this tree, that tree. I mean, there's an elaborate description, pages and pages of description of the different trees that Ram is talking to. Say, where is my Sita? So this is a similar move. Eventually he says to the deer, you know, where did Sita go? And the deer, of course, don't say anything, but they point with their noses in the southern direction, because that's where Sita Devi has been taken by Rama. So very similar type of pastime there, where you have this intense separation. And of course, if we ever experience this intense separation, then everything, we actually go crazy. It's called unmada. Unmada means like transcendental craziness, or divyonmada, that's also transcendental craziness. And this is one of the vyabhachari bhavas. Let's talk about that before I read the purport. Hopefully I get to the purport. So, in spiritual life, as one advances, one begins to experience spiritual emotions. Right now, we are also experiencing emotions, and these emotions are sick emotions. Isn't it? We all have bhavas. Sometimes I wonder when I see the devotees in Mangalarchi whether they have any emotions, but that's another subject matter. It's like talking to the trees. Have you seen Krishna? And we're standing there. So all we have emotions. Sometimes we suppress or repress our emotions. Not good to repress the emotions. Not good. You should just boom. Not in the right circumstance, of course. The right circumstance. So these bhavas, so let's describe the analysis of the bhavas. The first bhava that's described by Śrīla-rūpa Swami is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's something called the Vibhava. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but it's something we should know about. Vibhava means something that stimulates your other emotions. And There's two types, you don't have to remember this, alumbana and udipana. That means things that they struggle spiritually now, but even materially it works like that. Just like this morning during Mangalarti, there was a little baby here. And I saw some of the ladies, their emotions got stimulated. One of the ladies ran to the back of the temple room, pick up the baby, and experienced anubhavas. So that's, just talking about babies. All right, let's use an example of babies. So the baby itself is like alambana, directly the thing that stimulates your emotions. And let's say if you just saw the baby's diapers or something, no. If you just so the baby's blank, that's actually more subject. And then you remember the baby and you feel all happy, right? So that's the vibhava, the things that stimulate. Or with Krishna, it means, you know, Krishna directly, or you hear the sound of the flute. Even if it's not Krishna playing the flute, you get stimulated, you just get very emotional. For example, one day I was at Govardhan, and I heard a flute playing. And I thought, wow, I achieved Krishna consciousness, the perfection of my life. It's Krishna, and I was ready to run out to the forest and my swaroop. Krishna, Govinda! I heard your flute. Then I realized there was just some mundane guy on the speaker system that we have where I live playing the flute, so that I was very disappointed. I thought I had. Actually, there's this technical thing that Bhaktivinoda talks about quite a bit. It's called the spurti. Spurti means like that you're meditating on something so much and Krishna reveals something to you through that meditation. Like you, for example, like if I was to look at the deities and see the deities dancing, that would be a spurti. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it as Jiva Dharma. That this Sannyasi Thakur, this is the beginning of Jiva Dharma, one day he looks at Navadvipa, and this is years later after Lord Chaitanya left, and then he sees Navadvipa as it was. Those are the Jiva Dharma that I'm talking about. He sees Navadvipa as it was, you know, whatever, you know, 50 years before. And that's called a spurti. So devotees sometimes have a spurti. So anyway, so that vibhav thing. So let's say with Krishna, if you hear the sound of the flute, or in the case of Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya's associate, he saw a peacock fan that was being used to fan the Nawab Hussein Shah. And he fell to the ground in ecstasy. So that's not directly with Krishna, but things related with Krishna. But a pure devotee, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, Sampakshadaiva, Lokiyamati, Yamashana Shandura Machucha, Machinchadini, Sukum Govinda Manakurusha, Tamahamayami. A pure devotee sees Krishna because his eyes are tinged with the salve of love. Now, what does that really mean, Yamashana, that he sees Krishna everywhere? I mean, when I first joined the movement, I thought, you know, how can you navigate this world if he's seeing like little Krishnas floating in the air, you know, whatever, looking in everyone's heart and seeing Krishna, or some people have in their heart Durga, whatever. So, what does it mean? It means that you see everything connected to Krishna. If you see anything not connected with Krishna, that's an illusion. So in other words, you see this is Krishna's table, this is Krishna's microphone, his body belongs to Krishna, isn't it? Vishavasham, Idam, Sarvam, basic stuff. And it reminds you, everything becomes a vibhav for a pure devotee. It's amazing. And for us, everything becomes a vibhav for emotional, for material emotions. isn't it? Like, you know, you look at someone like a young boy looks at a girl. Even like his hair stung up things, you know. So, girl, Kirtan, Richard Gita, Ready to Ramanyan Manaso Rasena. Poor boy. Boy Kirtan, Purusha Kirtan of Richard Gita, Madhithramahan Shri Kirtan, you got the message. So that's what a Vibhav is. And you know, in the second verse of the Guru Vashtra, we actually got Shri Mahaprabhu Kirtan of Richard Gita. When the spiritual master hears the Kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he begins to dance and chant. And he feels happy, and tears flow, Ashutananda Bhaja, tears flow from his eyes, and towards great essence. All right. So I think I've explained the Vibhav enough. And then Vibhav, we have to deal with this thing called the Anubhav. Now, Anubhav is things that follow, like you go to Mangalarti and you decide to dance. As you don't, you decide to sleep. And Anubhav is what you decide to do. It's a voluntary action. You understand? You think, let me dance for Krishna, and joyfully. That's an Anubhav. Dancing, you know, sometimes even drooling in the mouth. But you have some control over it. Here you go. Like a drool. Like that. These are Anubhavs. That's what follows. But it's a voluntary thing. You know, you can choose to dance or not to dance. Bhav. So then, after that, you know, there's the sattvic bhavs. Sattvic bhavs are the bhavs that are due to one's contact with Prashuddha Sattva, you know, Sattva, Sattva Guru, but Prashuddha Sattva. That these are constantly, they've ashta sattvic bhavs, this eight of them. And then the most interesting one for me, which is what's being described here, is Vyabhachari Bhavs. There's 33 of those. And sometimes called, another word, Sanchari. Sanchari or Vyabhachari Bhavs. And so these are 33 emotions that are not there all the time, but they come up and you don't have any control over them. They're just like, whoop! And you can't really, you can't say, don't. Keep that emotion down, buddy. Isn't it? That's when one is mad with love. You can't keep it down. I told a story the other day of Shakuntala. That's a material, well, I guess it's half story too. The Shakuntala is madly in love with King Dushmanta. And even though Durvasa Muni came to visit her, she didn't even pay attention to him. Now, Durvasa Muni came to visit me. I give him my full attention, serve him 24 hours a day, and then later ask for a benediction. Touchstone. But anyway. Spread the movement. Turn everyone to gold. Gold or bogus. Anyway. Gauranga. So anyway. So she was so much immersed, and therefore she got cursed by Durvasa Muni. Famous story, I'm not going to tell it right now. So talking about the Sanjari Bhavas, Lord Chaitanya exhibited that when he first went in to see Lord Jagannath. And he just, one of the Sanjari Bhavas is death, but not death, die, but for all intents and purposes, you're in a coma. And so Lord Chaitanya went into a spiritual coma when he saw Lord Jagannath. And everyone thought, well, Sannyasi's dead. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he held a little bit of cotton by Lord Chaitanya's nose. And you can see there was a little breath coming in and out. Then the devotees chanted, Hare Krishna. And after he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then he came out of this particular mood. And of course, Lord Chaitanya exhibited some of these Sanjari Bhavas, like smashing his head against the wall, the Gambira, running into the ocean, floating down all the way to the corner out to the sun god temple. You know, these are, or anyway, so many, but more than we could ever do. Because for him, it was Mahabhav. His limbs would extend like 3 or 4 times. Imagine a doctor, if you had a patient and his hands, let's see, what is this? Less than a meter. His hands came out like 2 meters from his body. You would report that to the medical journal as something extremely unique. And then in the chant Hare Krishna, they come back and normal. Oh my God. What power is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Right? Anyway, so these are some Sri Bhavas. And so here the gopis are exhibiting this Sanchari Bhava too. And of course the final description of Bhava is something we call the Staiva, not we, the Acharyas call it Staiva, but that means once pretty much constant emotion, referring to Ras. You know, whether your constant emotion is conjugal, which your constant emotion is parental, friendship, servitude, that's this Staiva, steady Bhava. And that steady Bhava sometimes is colored by the indirect rasas, like humor, shock, chivalry, anger, fear, you know, it's so easy. Anyway, it's nectar. So here, what you're actually reading here, so to help you understand what's happening here, it's important to understand the analysis of the emotions given by the acharyas. So this is a Yavachari Sanchari Bhava, which is basically madness, complete madness. A devotee is mad. Even one time people did Lord Chaitanya's horoscope, and they said, madness. He is transcendentally mad. So a devotee is basically mad, although for preaching, please don't mad. Like Prabhupada, very rarely did he exhibit these types of emotions. And I saw it twice when Prabhupada came to different temples and was appreciating Miami and also Corapus Fund as well. When Prabhupada was appreciating how Lord Chaitanya has come to this far off place, and Prabhupada began to chant Paramakarana, Holy Dijanamita, Gavachana. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Dijanam, you're the most merciful. And then Prabhupada just went into trance, and the devotees didn't know what to do. Similarly to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, they began to chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada came out in his trance. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when you exhibit these things? And Prabhupada, in an apologetic way, he said, no, that doesn't happen very often. So generally, the devotees don't exhibit these things. You have to be careful. And of course, there's that story, I wanted to get to Vishwanath Chakravarti, of course, that once upon a time, there was a snake charmer who was singing songs about Anantashesh. And Haridas Thakur came to this particular circumstance. You've heard the story. And he started dancing in ecstasy, hearing the songs rolling on the ground. And the snake charmer was just so respectful to Haridas Thakur. And everyone was watching Haridas Thakur exhibit his emotions. And then there was a Brahmin there who was thinking, yeah, I can get respect too, you know. Because sometimes people do that. And especially in India, they exhibit so-called symptoms of emotion just to get people to say, wow, he's a great devotee. Wow. He's like Lord Chaitanya. Isn't it? I see that in India especially, people do all sorts of crazy things. Men dressed like women. Some of the ugliest women you've ever seen in your life. with a beard, partial beard. I had a, this is, a guilty, I'm in the wrong book. So this Brahmin, he thought he would imitate. So he jumped into the circle. He's dancing a snake dance in some way. And the snake person who was chanting, he kicked the Brahmin. And I was like, why are you kicking me? He said, you're just trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. So there's genuine emotion. But one has to be careful. I mean, you see, sometimes even devotees move just to imitate emotion for a kirtan to roll on the ground or something. I mean, yeah, if you're actually ecstatic, it's okay. But if that happens every time you need kirtan, then something happened. You know, it's not that you display your good fortune to people. I'm not so fast. Isn't it? Being a play in the Ganga. I remember one year I was in Mayapur and there was a, this is when Prabhupada was present, and there was a, the devotees had organized a kirtan competition. You know, and there always Bengali kirtan groups came, and some of them were so good they could make the Ganga chant Hare Krishna. Seriously, they could, really, the talks. I'm not just joking about it. But it was so like flamboyant. Anybody who's been to Bengal knows what I'm talking about. Really. Like they were Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, whatever it is. And Prabhupada said, nonsense, stop the competition. No, people competing as to who could lead the most ecstatic kirtan. And the devotees, they always have this competition spirit. I mean, I remember another thing in Los Angeles, this is about competition. They used to have Krishna Bowl every night. Krishna Bowl? It's like a game show. Like, who knows this past guy, Krishna, you know, like, something like you see on the television. I don't know if you see the television. You don't have television. But they have these game shows, like the panels and things like that. And for $50, of course, people would do money. Who did Krishna kill after he imitated him by tying on two hands to his back? You have 10 seconds to answer this question. Panel, boop. Pondraka! You would have tripped India. No, anyway. So, Prabhupada said, what's this nonsense? You know, we had, Prabhupada said, we can try to invent many things with our Western mind and Indian mind. We just invent all these new procedures. So Prabhupada didn't appreciate that very much. His inventive spirit. So anyway, so let's read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport, which I didn't need much time for. And it's translated by Vanu Maharaj, my dear God. God, he's a genius. Vanu Maharaj has translated so many literatures, Sanskrit literatures. Very quiet, humble devotee. He's not even accepting disciples, he's so humble. And he's just like, what could I say? He's like a perfect devotee. You met Vanu Maharaj, right? He's a perfect devotee. So my God was like him, just like a worshiper. So, when Unmada gave up its deep state and became somewhat stable, the gopis began to search for Krishna in a half-conscious state. In other words, they were completely crazy. And then when they became half crazy, they had the wherewithal, the intelligence to know, oh, we should go look for it. So half-conscious. Half-conscious means like, just basically stumbling around. That is described in this verse. Grief stricken because of separation from their beloved. They thought, we must search for him. Coming together in a group, they wandered from forest to forest as if half mad searching. Asking the trees about Krishna's whereabouts was one sign of their unmada state. Because normally you don't talk to trees. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This is interesting story in Braj that one time Krishna appeared with four arms to fool the gopis to act like Lord Vishnu. And when the gopis saw him, they offered their obeisances to him. And all they said is, where is Krishna? Can you imagine? God appears. Because they understood Narayan was God. They didn't think Krishna was God. They knew enough to know that Narayan, Krishna was God. So imagine if God comes before you and you ask him, where's my boyfriend? That's the scenario, isn't it? You can imagine. Imagine you ladies, it's like a Christian came off the altar and he said, please, find my boyfriend for me. You know, it's just, huh? It's, you know, the contrast. Juxtaposition, called juxtaposition, contrast. Between these two things. You have to see the scenario. When I read these things, it's very important. I actually picture in my mind what's happening. You know, there's... Unfortunately, nowadays, the people use these mobile phones, see videos so much, they've lost their imagination, their ability to imagine things. When you read a lot, which I did when I was young and I still do, then you actually perceive these things in your mind. It's almost like a spurti. And you can really enjoy reading the Bhagavatam, reading Ramayana, or any of these literatures. Of course, when I was young, I wasn't reading the Bhagavatam and Ramayana, I was reading science fiction, but it's another thing. But that helped. That helped. Nowadays, people are not into reading that much. Bookstores are going bankrupt, actually closing all over the world. We know that Krishna was enjoying with Radha, the chief gopi, at that time, but did he know the questions that the gopis were asking in their state of unmada? This is a question, what's called a rhetorical question, asked by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This was made clear in this verse by describing Krishna as pervading inside and outside all entities, like the Akash. Because Krishna is everywhere, certainly Krishna could hear the gopis' questions in those places, though they could not see him. So in other words, one reason, this is as some of the other acharyas described, that the gopis were yelling really loud because they wanted Krishna to hear them. But Krishna could hear them anyway because he was present everywhere. But one of the reasons the gopis were crying out loud, and one of the reasons the gopis were talking to the trees is because the trees are taller. See, this, you have to understand the psychology. The trees are taller, and when you're taller, you can look from really high, you can see a long distance, so they could see Krishna. They could see Krishna. That's why they were talking to the trees. Anyway, so we only have 2.5 minutes left for the class, so any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments? Yes.
When you were explaining about Spurti and
Stai Baba.
Stai Baba. I had a kind of like picture in my head. It's like spiritual emotions are coming like through a hose.
Yeah.
And then when it kind of spurts out, it's like a spurt. It's just like a...
I guess you could put that in English, like a spurt.
It's like a spurt.
Spurt.
And then Stai when it's really just flowing, always.
Yeah, that's a way to remember the term, yeah. Actually, it's interesting when one wants to remember different terms, there's a memory trick where you connect it with something else. You know, the people who are expert in remembering other people's names, they actually connect it. Like, you know, if I was talking about Adi Purusha and I didn't remember his name, I would say, Adi means beginning, the first Krishna West person who made it universal. So I remember Adi beginning, he's the beginning. I would just remember, when I see him, I remember beginning. Or he's just beginning Krishna consciousness. Okay, Adi. And he's a person, Purusha. It's a memory trick. Although linguistically, it's probably not connected. Sometimes things are connected linguistically. But Smriti, because when you're actually, Smriti is not simply imagination. Let me just make that clear. Because when you're remembering Krishna's pastimes, taking them into your heart, into your mind, then the remembrance is non-different from the pastime itself. I mean, sometimes devotees ask the question, for example, about the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Sanatana Goswami tells some stories that you've never heard anywhere else. Isn't it? The story of Gopakumara, for example. And devotees ask, did he just make that up to make a philosophical point? Well, because he's meditating and perceiving that, and he's a pure devotee, it's happening. You know, Krishna's pastimes are like that. Because when a pure devotee meditates on something, because the meditation on Krishna and his pure devotees, Krishna and his pure devotees are present during that meditation. So the devotee, by his desire, can actually control Krishna. And that pastime actually took place. Even you said, it was just imagining, but it took place. Now, some things, like the story of Puranjana, obviously metaphorical in the Bhagavatam, you know. I don't think there's anyone like Puranjana, literally, who, you know, went to the city. No, of course, we're all like Puranjana. Never to worry, you know, we're all going to the gates of our body to enjoy. Like after the morning program, we go to the mouth gate. Meet Prasada. As they say in Spanish, Barriga llena, corazón contenta. Right? You want to translate that? When your stomach is full, your heart is content. Excuse me, because whenever I start laughing, I start coughing. It's not the virus. It's a humor virus. So anyway, so Smriti is actual manifestation. It's not just imagination. But if we're actually even imagining Krishna according to Shastra, not just like our own mental speculation, Krishna appears. That's the amazing thing. We think of Krishna. Literally, you know, think of Krishna under the directions of a pure devotee in accordance with Shastra. Krishna appears in our hearts. I mean, he's in our hearts, but he actually manifests his presence to us. You can actually see Krishna in your heart of hearts. Isn't it? Sandaksharaiva, Vidyauchi, Vilokayati. You can actually see. If you meditate, if you picture Krishna in your heart, you can have a smriti. It's a fact. You don't have to be like a pure devotee to have a smriti. This sannyasi, wasn't a pure devotee at that particular point. Such an interesting story in Jiva Dharma about this sannyasi. The sannyasi actually was a Mayavadi sannyasi in the beginning. Sorry, 1 minute. He was a Mayavadi sannyasi in a minute. And one devotee in Harinam just came by him. He was in Benares, you know, meditating on Brahman, had realized Brahman. Anyone read the Jiva Dharma? No. He had realized Brahman. And the devotee came by him, and the sannyasi was, Om Ramaya Namaha, Om, whatever. Om, Om. And he felt ecstasy for the first time in his life, ran to Navadvip, took shelter one of the Babaji's there, and later on, by the process of sadhana, siddhi, sadhana, and it's a little bit of creepy there too. He was able to perceive. So that's us. Many of the stories Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells are really relatable about us. You know, whether we're Mayavadis or there were stories of attached householders, which I could tell another day, who simply wanted money, who became pure devotees. It's about us. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's about us. You can become a pure devotee. You can have this protein. On that happy note, thank you very much. All glories to His divine grace, to the Prabhupada. But you have to be enthusiastic.